Welcome to The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney. Today we're talking about the upcoming Oregon Festival of American Music in Eugene and its presenting organization, the John G. Shedd Institute for the Arts. Joining me by phone to explain it are Jim and Geneva Ralph, who founded the Institute together in 1991. Jim also serves as Shedd's executive director and Geneva as its director of community and cultural services. Jim and Geneva, welcome.
Good morning, Vanessa. Thanks for doing it.
Oh, good morning. In the last half of the interview, we'll get into this month's events that kick off August 12th. But first, I'm hoping you can put it all into context. Just briefly, who was John G. Shedd and what inspired you to found the Institute in his name all those years ago?
Well, maybe I should take that one. The one thing I did in life right was to pick my great-grandparents well. So John G. Shedd was my great-grandfather and was an early merchant in Chicago, second president of Marshall Field's. Shedd Aquarium is the same Shedd. Shedd, Oregon, actually, is a distant relative. And it's because of him and his love for kids that we were able to do what we're doing. And when we acquired the building, which is the former First Baptist Church, we named it in his honor.
Wonderful. Okay, and I understand that OFAM, as we call the Oregon Festival of American Music, is now one of seven concert series the Shedd oversees. And the festival actually got its start as a weekend festival focusing on American classical music. It was under the musical direction of conductor Maren Alsop. So what is its mission today?
Jim, go for it.
Jeremy, you go for it.
Our mission, it's interesting. It clearly has evolved. It's organic. But what our mission statement now doesn't even have the word music in it. It's about the building and what happens in it. And for us, music is one of the tools with which we accomplish the goals of creating community through creation, education, and celebration. And that means that we put on music and music school 358 days a year, but so do other organizations. They can use the facilities for their own special events and concerts and lectures and film series and just about, you know, anything that flies under a nonprofit radar to be able to celebrate things. And that includes rites of passage like memorials. So it's really a cultural resource for the region.
Yeah. And obviously, our gig is music. When you say we have seven series, we do, and we expand those. And over the decades, we've actually expanded the different types of genres we look at and deal with. We did, as you say, start out as a classical music, American classical music, and people would say, what kind of American music are you doing? We're going to American classical music. Don't you think that's fairly limited? And indeed, it did. It was very interesting. And we still do quite a bit of that as well as other classical European art music, not only in the United States and Latin American, coming out of there, coming out of Europe. It's a part of what we do. But one day we kind of got up and said, you know, rather than spending all our time and our energies in trying to convince people to come and listen to the type of music we think is valuable, let's figure out what they really care about and really have an institution which assists that in happening. And that's led to a very rich and diverse approach to concertizing and creating projects. And so we do a lot of that.
Yeah, it looks like you now have several performance venues and pretty extensive music education facilities. And as Geneva mentioned, you've opened it up to the community. So you're this year-round hub of culture now.
That's
absolutely.
Yeah.
I guess that would be true. And it's and it's a little overwhelming sometimes because there's so much great stuff that's happening. And I think that's a big part of what we've focused on is how do we make it so that people can really seriously facilitate people in being able to have, you know, being able to see the types of things they want. We ask people, who do you want to hear? What do you want to do? And, you know, what are the, and that becomes a conversation which leads to kind of a lot of empowerment for people because everyone sort of knows what they care about and they often don't get to do it in a small town. You know, we're a fairly small state, as you know, and you have to kind of actually work at it deliberately to get various artists from, you know, throughout the country and from throughout the world. And also just to dig into different parts of our shared heritage in all the different dimensions.
So does that...
Can I say one other thing?
Sure.
Is that sometimes we're doing two or three things at the same time, including we take music up to Corvallis about six times a year. So we do some runouts, and we've played up and down the state with various things, but that's been the pattern. So we're up in Corvallis six times a year as well.
Okay. You're mobile with your programming.
Mm-hmm.
A quick reminder that you're listening to The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney talking with Jim and Geneva Ralph, who founded the Shedd Institute for the Arts together in 1991. In 2005, they received the Governor Arts Award in recognition of their efforts. And next week, they kick off the annual summer session of the Oregon Festival of American Music, otherwise known as OFAM. So I hear you that you sort of have an ear into the community, which is wonderful. So it sounds like you evolve your offerings through that dialogue. Now, you've always had themes each year. So does some of that community feedback play into that? You're both historians and educators.
Well, that's really where we came from with this, is that we wanted to set it in its cultural and historical context, whatever the music was that we were looking at. And we don't pretend to know it all. So, yes, people give us a lot of feedback. And Jim can talk in particular about a Brazilian strand, for example, and Hawaiian strand. But Brazilian strand came through from one of our board members. And we're seeing a lot of that in this summer's festival.
That's a perfect segue. Let's start getting into this month's offering. So, Jim, take it away. Start out with that Brazilian influence that we'll see in this month's programming.
Well, we actually, the festival is entitled Beyond the Sea, Cross Currents and Convergences. And we started in January with readdressing the interaction between music in France and the United States. And as we do this summer, we're looking at more broadly. And one of the key interactions that most of us know have been around for, half a century or so was the relationship between music in Brazil and the United States and how I think Barney Kessel and Julia London put out an album, and the dudes down there in Brazil were very much karaoke as opposed to anything, and they're trying to shift off of that, and they go, oh, listen to this record. So cool. And so they took it apart, and they were on their own going into another style, which they called the New Wave, Bossa Nova. And so it then turned around and was a real influence in the United States. And so what we're doing this fest, that's representative of what we're doing this festival throughout this next the 10 days that we have at the next 2 weeks. Our music director is Chuck Redd out of Washington, D.C., a vibraphonist, has been with us for, I think, 20 years overall, and playing with us in the last decade. He's been our music director for the series, and he's looking in this concert at that interrelationship between the Bossa Nova guys in Rio de Janeiro and in the United States, and how that was mutually influential. And it's really that cross currents and convergences between different musical traditions. We go through the rest of the week that same way, and just look at, for instance, we're looking at the impact of the blues on the classic American songbook, not the blues itself. That's a completely different thing that we do many times in different states. But we're really looking at that impact or that influence into the great American songbook. Another concert, we go back to France with Siri Vic, one of our local artistic directors, looking at the chanson transatlantique, more the French songbook. Another show on the Eastern Tinge, all the this deep influence that that the Riddish theater, as it developed, had on the development of American popular music in the 20th century, coming out of, interestingly, very specifically, the Ashkenazi Jewish community in Ukraine, which was extremely important culturally beyond just simply the Ashkenazi, but the cultural influences of that region altogether, which is still with us very strongly. And we go from that to a show on the development of the love song through the 20th century with another local artist, one that's called My Roots Are Showing, which is looking at the relationship between between traditional and folk music, both in the United States and beyond, and the mainstream popular culture. We have another one which is kind of interesting, which is called Bizet Has His Day. And it's been hard getting some people who do not know Bizet that it's, don't say Bizet has his day, that doesn't rhyme. But it's really looking at the use of classical music on popular music and jazz. And that's pretty much all of it. Got another one, Vicky Carr, and then a jazz party. So that's what we do in 10 days.
Fascinating. And this sounds like, well, first of all, very illuminating, because many people might not realize what a global potpourri our, what we think of as our American jazz canon is. It really has all these influences. And I would love to just tease out one of those threads. So thank you for that overview. And then if we could maybe pull on the thread of bossa nova and just take us through a few events that you have that are related to the Brazilian influence. For example, I noticed that you were playing on the big screen a movie called Black Orpheus, which was hugely influential when it came out back in the 60s, sort of helped kick off that whole bossa nova craze in the States. So what are some events related to that?
Well, and actually, that is it. I mean, it's in terms of multiples, this is the one thing that we're really doing on the bossa nova and jazz, is looking at that. Since we're doing, what, 8 different concert projects, each of which has 2 performances, and then a 9th that's a single performance. And so if you come to the whole festival, you really are lucky, are digging into various aspects of that. In terms of this particular evening, and obviously we're doing the film, we have a film every morning as a part of our educational program with Rhodes Scholar and with the general community. And Orfeu Negro is, as you say, extremely important film, which is very much right smack dab in the middle of this great interface between the cool jazz music in the United States and the new wave in Rio de Janeiro. You've got Gilberto is one of the great sort of performance in that style, but the big, so the composers were Antonio Carlos Jobim, Tom Jobim, and Vinicius de Moraes.
Yeah.
And they were all a part of creating the sound, and that film is very central within that. And so what Chuck's going to do is just go through and actually look at all the dimensions of the relationships, both in their work, specifically in Brazil, but also very quickly, almost instantly, also in the United States, all the way up to the middle of the 1960s, actually into the 1960s, with a great, important, famous recording between Tom Jobim and
Stan Getz,
Frank Sinatra, and various other relationships like that. So, and it really is, this one is very jazz-oriented because it was very importantly that, but it, of course, went beyond that as well. And, you can definitely say that, The Girl from Ipanema is much more popular rather than jazz, but it's all interrelated in that fashion.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, your programming even includes 2 community sing-alongs and jazz parties and talks and films, but it's so so well-researched that I can imagine it's also an ethnomusicologist's dream. I imagine you attract people in the music community, at least the scholarly music community, from all over.
Since it's very popularly oriented, I think we do that, but we do get that, and it's wonderful. They show up, and we start arguing with each other, and it's a tremendous interaction. Last year, as a matter of fact, there was a gentleman from Rio de Janeiro, and he basically was going into this thing with Barney Kessel and Julie London and Moraes, and his discovering the album and saying all of his guys in his band, take this song, take that song, transcribe it, and let's figure it out, and how it all developed. And it was like most people in the room says, what? I mean, what do you mean Barney Kessel and Julie London had an impact on bossa nova? And that's not the narrative that we usually hear. And so it's absolutely flat out true. And Chuck's going, absolutely right. I mean, one of his mentors was Barney Kessel, and we worked with him a lot. So, yep, it's really what it was.
Well, we have about a minute left. And Ginevra, I want to return to you. Besides your other roles, you're also director of the Shedd Institute's Center for Hearing Access. In fact, in 2020, the Hearing Loss Association of America gave you the National Get in the Hearing Loop Award for your advocacy. So can we assume there are some accommodations at OFAM for those who might have hearing impairments? And again,
absolutely. Yes. And what's interesting, the reason we founded the center was that we put in hearing loops, which are the absolute best assistive listening system. The ADA requires assistive listening in performance halls and courtrooms and conference centers and that sort of thing, anywhere where you've got amplified or even where sound is integral to the experience. And people don't understand that they have rights under the ADA. and they don't understand how their hearing aids interface with assistive listening systems.
Okay.
So that's what happened, was we put in the good thing, and people said, how do I use it? And so that's what we've been working on for 10 years now, is to help teach people how to access the sound, both in, you know, plays and church and music and
okay.
And public speaking. So
great.
That's what it's about.
Great. Thanks for that work there. We'll leave it there. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, Vanessa. That was great. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. My guests were Jim and Ginevra Ralph, who co-founded the Shedd Institute for the Arts and remain key organizers. The Institute is presenting the annual Oregon Festival of American Music, August 12th through the 22nd at the Shedd in Eugene. For tickets and more information, visit theshedd.org. That's Shedd with two D's.